song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. Diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And welcome to another week of The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Me, myself, Big Daddy, the only one in the studio today, along with Garrett.
Hey, I'm here.
Merritt's here, too.
Merritt's here, too. We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
You're taking up most of the space, but we're here, too.
There you go. Hey, Doug's out this week, so hope
Doug's
you're long.
Doug's out!
Oh, Lil Wayne already making an appearance here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
We got a party when Doug's out. I mean, that's...
God, Doug hates this song. About like when Stoney, you play Peanut Butter Jelly Time for her. Just cringes.
No peanut butter jelly time today, Daddy.
Hey, we're promising Roger Matheson. We think we've got him. We've got three people around him holding a phone right beside him. So we're hoping to be joined by Roger Matheson. So much went on this weekend. We're also efforting our very own Mitch Sherman. I know we talked to Mitch last week again, but he does have the feel for this baseball championship as the field was set. Two national seeds out of the Big 12 in Oklahoma and Texas, the number one overall national seed. Texas, the number one overall national seed. Eight teams selected out of the Big 12. I thought with Nebraska's sweep over Baylor that that would have cost them a chance at this. They get into the tournament. Obviously, you beat Texas in the first round, maybe garnered a little notoriety. They got it back. We'll talk about that in the second segment of the show. We'll talk about more stuff going on. Royals, Hillman gone from the game yesterday, getting ejected in the eighth inning. Indy 500, whatever you want.
NBA playoffs, we'll catch
NBA
on that
playoffs,
later, too.
A lot going on in the sports world. But right now, we promised Roger Matheson, we have delivered Roger Matheson as they bring home the state title for the 13th year out of the last 16th. They haven't lost a damn track meet since 1993. 116 invites in a row. Roger, congratulations. A wonderful, wonderful state championship again for you. Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, things went awfully well this last weekend. Probably couldn't have gone a whole lot better.
Roger, when you come down to figuring the number of points needed to win this state title, and then you figure in really probably did not expect to win, which you did get a win in the discus, but did not expect to have an individual champion. How much more difficulty does that put into the mix?
Well, I think, you know, before coaches, I think we kind of figured mid to upper 60s would win the state meet, which I guess kind of came to fruition because we didn't really need to score 88 to win. But, there's kind of two ways of looking at it. One is if you have a lot of superstars, you don't have quite as many potential problems that can happen in terms of, you know, kids having to perform their best. But at the same time, if you have one or two guys who are carrying the load for you, if one of them starts having a little bit of a problem, then you're pretty much dead in the water. But quite honestly, this is a team that is very much like, you know, all the teams we've had in the past. We tend to cover a lot of events, tend to have a few guys who are awfully good. This year probably didn't have quite the quote-unquote superstars. You didn't see, you know, we've had, six Gatorade athletes of the year the last 10 years. That's quite a few. So we didn't have those kind of kids, but we had stars. We had kids, like Jack Chatelain. Jack Chatelain set our school record this year for points scored in 1 year. And I'll tell you, the track records at Kearney High look more like a small college record board. When you score almost 250 points in a school like, you know, Kearney High, the places where we go, I think you'd have to call Jack Chatelain. He would be a major star. And then, like I say, some other kids that, you know, we did win that one event, and we were state runner up in three others. So we had our share of stars too.
Roger, maybe get your take on this. They started placing eight at the state track meet. I don't know how much difference that's really made or cost you over the years. What's your thoughts on the placing of eight down there and the scoring of eight?
I think the impact has been negligible. I guess my feeling is, without putting great thought into it, I think that's just fine. I don't know. I think that, you know, if you can reward those kids for getting down there, I don't see great pros, great cons. I don't really see it impacting the sport a great deal. Quite honestly, schools like us and a Fremont, a Millard West, you know, Papillion, there are certain schools that tend to field kids across the board, more teams. And so I suppose it would tend to look like it benefits us, but I think since they've been doing it the last 2 years, it really hasn't had really any impact.
Roger, 1993, the last time you guys have lost. It obviously goes back. That was a year after I was out of high school. It goes back that far.
You remember those days, do you?
Barely. And I don't remember last Thursday all that well. But, you know, is that what's the streak or record you're most proud of in your years of coaching at Kearney High?
Oh, gosh. There are a lot of things that, you know, we've done over the years. We've been on the conference and district meet for, you know, 20-some years in a row now, and we've had 111 state champions and state runners-up. That's a pretty big number, to tell me. Eric talks about our 11 state championships we've won in a row. That's the fourth longest winning streak in American history. I don't know. I'd have to say that one. That's the record that will endure the longest. When you don't lose a track meet, since 1993, 7 years is a long time. That's a really big number. And, most of our meets, you get caught a lot, as I do. We get caught, coaches speak how, our districts are this tough or our schedule's this tough. And we know a lot of it it's all the time kind of rhetoric. But nonetheless, I think if you look at our schedule, we do not compete against the Sisters of the Poor. And I've always thought that there's two ways of going at it. I've always thought that you have to do that. It's okay to take your lumps from time to time. And, you know, people say, well, you never get beat. Well, we have individuals get beat. You know, we have relays that get beat. We get beat. I guess our team hasn't been beat for a long time. But I think that learning experience, that when you put kids in that little circumstance, it certainly makes you better at the end of the year. And the graveyards are replete with people who won all the time, but it came down to the big ones. We couldn't seem to get it done, and I just believe that has a lot to do with the preparation. It has a lot to do with what your kids see during the year. But I gotta think that not losing a track meet for 17 years, that's not ever going to get broken, because you can go to the state track meet, and you can win the state track meet with four or five kids, and you and I know in the lower class you can win with one or two.
And
we've seen it, like the with Billy O'Reilly at Elm Creek a few years ago, and oh boy, go back to the Eklov, was that his name, from Amherst some years ago?
I was going Lucas Horn and the McClanahan kid at Overton, I believe, did it for Overton.
And in Class A, if you have the right kids, but we've been kind of unique in that we've had stars, superstars here for years, but we've also always fielded a team. But you're not going to see that record get broken. I mean, you're talking during that 17-year streak, that's 116 invitational. That's a big number. 900 teams in a row. 900, that's a real big number. So, that's probably the streak that, strange as it may seem, for me, it's probably not the state championship string and all those. I really hadn't thought about it. I honestly, when I read in the Hub that we had won 13 times last 16 years, my brain always goes to, our t-shirts had all those numbers on the back, and we've been first or second 18 times last 21 years. And that's what my brain always goes to. And I read that. Oh, that's interesting. I really hadn't thought about it exactly like that, because I always think about the runners-up, too. But
Roger,
yeah,
I think one interesting take in visiting with you, and several times I've got a chance to catch up with you. When people say, and everybody wants to take down, and I think it's amazing the run that the Grants have had in football, Cambridges have had in football. You can go to Battle Creek. You can go around. There's been a number of great dynasties, and even Grand Island back in the day in football had an awful good run.
Yeah.
But for the longevity, you guys have been able to do it. So then you got people that want to tear apart this deal. What do you say to the people? They just do. They just want to. They want to rip apart a winner. That's what people out there do. They're not happy with success if they're not a part of it. That's just the way of the world. What do you say to people who say, Well, boy, you got Whistle from Elm Creek. He got the Brown kids. They live by Overton. What do you respond to people that say that?
Well, I would say, you know, jealousy is a terrible thing. I mean, jealousy is, it tells you more about your own inadequacies as opposed to what somebody else is doing. But, you know, we as coaches, we can go back. I can start recounting names. When Rob Sainert moved to St. Augustine, Florida a few years ago, he became, of course, you throw a shot 65 feet in high school, you're pretty good. When he went there, that cost us a state championship or two. When Frank Ward moved to Tennessee, that probably cost us a couple. When Butch Peltz moved to Alliance, everybody around knows who Butch Peltz was. And even the Richardson boy, he went to Minden a couple years ago, that cost us. When Todd Gillen moved to Mitchell, 10-5, when you run 10-5 and 121-8 and you're 6'3", 210, that's pretty fast, they tell me. I laugh at that because there are weasels everywhere in the world. And I think when I was 25 years old, those things didn't really wash very well with me. Because why are people always trying to figure out what we're doing to win all the time? How about just maybe, I tell my coach all the time, how about if you're not getting it done, go look in the mirror. That's the reason you're not getting it done. You know, look in the mirror. That's probably the main problem. So for us, we've had a couple of kids move in, and they were superstars. But I'll tell you, we've had far more superstars move out because of, you know, parents got different jobs and whatnot. But I don't let the little people bother me. I say when I was younger, it did. Now it probably makes me kind of laugh internally. And I got a phone call this morning from Sid Sheldon. You know, I don't know if you know who Sid is, but Sid and the boys were over at the coffee shop. Wayne Garles is, obviously. Yeah, I saw Wayne rolling around the track. I didn't get to talk to Wayne a whole lot, but Sid said his boy was congratulating me on how well the kids have done. And he's saying, Coach, he said, you're an icon. They'll be reading about you long after you're dead. I said, gee, he says, I'm not dead yet. He already got me stuck in the grave. I quit teaching this year, and he's already pitching dirt on top of me. I know what you're saying, and I do hear it periodically. Jealousy is a terrible thing, and maybe I was the same way too when I was 25. I think when you get to be our point in time, I really don't care. I know that, you know, the town loves the program. Go to the state track. I mean, just look at the houses of people that are there. It's awesome, and the people in town and the community, they know that there's not a stricter run program in the state. I will tell you, we hold our kids very accountable. We have high expectations, and I've always thought that the reason we do well is because we do things the right way. And that thing you're talking about, that will never go away. All I can say is we're kind of, I don't know, out here in the middle of nowhere, but I've had to answer that question many times. How is it that this can just keep going on and on and on? It will. You know, we'll get our day will come here one of these days too, but you know, we're never going to be horrible. I think that as long as they can keep things intact up there, they can, as the coaches start, you know, quitting, and I shouldn't say quitting, but just doing other things, if they can replace them with good people, they cannot keep winning, you know, the way it's been. I mean, that's unrealistic to expect anybody to do that. But
Roger, when you look back, is it simply numbers that separate you from everybody? What is it? Have you been able to pinpoint anything?
Oh, no, I don't think it's numbers. I mean, Miller West has out more people than we do. There are law schools that get out, maybe not the outstate schools because, you know, they're not as big. I mean, we're not, you know, the Norfolks and Columbuses and Kearneys and North Platte. You know, GI, of course, is gigantic. But, I don't think it's necessarily that. I think there are a lot of reasons, but surely, you know, I'm a believer that if you're a football coach, you're a basketball coach, you're a track coach, and you don't know the P's and Q's, I mean, if you don't know what's going on in the game, I don't know why you're coaching anyway. I mean, go, like, grab a book, you read a book in a day. I think everybody knows the strategy. Everybody knows how to coach the hurdles. I mean, if you don't, it's your own stupid fault. I mean, learn. If you don't know how to coach. But I think there are other subtleties that go along, and I'm a strong believer in, it's like a weirdo here, but the process. There's a book called The Learning Leader, which I've used a lot over the years. There's this way about dealing with kids, and there's ways to approach things, and it's not necessarily just the knowledge of the coaching, which a lot of people think. There are so many other factors that enter in, but there are a lot of smart people around, And a lot of people know a lot about track and football and basketball, whatever the case may be. But when you say pinpoint, yeah, you have to have 3 or 4 hours. I'm kind of a long-winded guy. I could talk to you about that for hours. But the process, I'm just telling you, you're going to have years where you're not going to have the people. To me, the trick is, it's not so much when we have Colby Whistle. I mean, the village idiot could coach Colby Whistle. I mean, please. I mean, how smart do you have to be? You know, if you have a Luke Gehringer or a Drew Anderson, I mean, please. But the trick is, you know, can you do it when maybe you don't quite have kids like that? And how do you get them to do it? Not because you're saying, go to this camp, go to this clinic, pay this guy, pay that guy, go here, do this, you know, live this sport. The trick is being able to do it because they want to do it, because they have, here we go, ownership in it. But it's they have a great sense of pride. It's just like with you when you go to work. I always thought that, I was telling my coaches yesterday, all my years of coaching, I was always determined never to let it interfere with my teaching, that my coaching should not interfere with, you know, with my teaching the next day or the next week. And I think if you have to have a sense of dignity and self-worth. And I know it sounds weird, but you have to figure out how to get it out of your kids. And to me, motivation is the most important part of it, that intrinsic motivation. Nothing takes the place of that. When Stephon Washington got the baton against Josh Smead in the mile relay the other day, I'm going to tell you something. Josh Smead isn't exactly, he's not driving around the Volkswagen motor underneath his hood. Stephon Washington's a superstar. Now, you explain to me how a guy who's run the quarter 3 times all year can run with a guy that runs 37 intermediate hurdles, and they can go stride for 400 meters and run 50 flat. I mean, obviously there's talent there, but there's also something inside of him that drives him.
Absolutely.
And that's the ticket. Somehow you have to find that little man inside of you who you gotta find out what button to push and which kids. And I think I have really, really good assistant coaches. And good, probably not the right word. Probably, ever said, well, who, you have a great coaching staff, who has a great this, great that, what great means. But I have tremendous assistant coaches who put a lot into it. And the community, they care a great deal what goes on, but it boils down to that little man inside of each person, I think.
Kearney High Bearcat track coach Roger Matheson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Roger, okay, you got out of coaching, or you got out of teaching, excuse me, a year ago. How much longer do you want to do this?
You know, I don't know. People ask me that. Do I see myself coming back next year? Right now, I don't think so. We'll see. I mean, I'm pushing 60 here. I think I got about 10 more good years in me. You know, I see myself coaching down the line, probably teaching. And, yeah, I probably, where it's going to be, or if, in fact, I do it. I mean, I could see myself doing it again. But I think right now I'm trying to convince Luke Gehringer, the guy that's been helping me all year long. I'm trying to convince Luke to take my job, but his wife's going to have a baby here in a couple of weeks, and I know one thing. There's very few people in town I can beat up. I can still handle Luke. He still looks like a distance runner. You know, a few guys I can beat up. But I would hope that they bring somebody in that, maybe looks at the same way we do. I just believe at Kearney High, there's a formula for doing things. I'll go back to the book I was talking about earlier. There's all kinds of people that win from time to time. To me, winning, I don't know what that means. Anybody can win. I mean, if you have the right kid, if Drew Anderson rolls into your school, how are you going to do? You going to be pretty good? I would think so. So, a lot of people, I call them, they're lucky winners. You know, they sometimes win. Don't really know why they win sometimes, but they seem to win. But I think there's a formula, and to win consistently at Kearney High in a school that's not very big over a period of time, I think there's a formula that you've got to follow. And I think if you don't follow the formula, I don't think you're going to win. You might win here, might win there. But I would hope that when they bring somebody in, I don't know what I'm going to be doing next year. That remains to be seen. We'll see. I might come back to Kearney High and stay there for 30 years, but I don't really see that happening. I may be another town. I don't see leaving. My wife works at the college. She has a wonderful job. She loves where she's at. She loves the people she's with, so I don't see us leaving. Maybe I'll go down the farm and just count kernels of corn. That would be that's something I could do all day long. But I'm working on a couple books right now, and we have some rentals we take care of, and I'm I do not see myself leaving coaching permanently. I you know, whether it's a college level or a high school level somewhere, or who knows. But I would like to see him at the high school keep things the way they are. And it will be difficult, as I said earlier, to you can't expect any human to win like that. That's not logical.
Fair.
But there are some people, I think, who've been through the program who, if they could get those guys involved, I think there's a chance to keep it there. And then pretty soon that flows to other programs, and then they start doing things a particular way. So I think there's hope for the future. I don't want to think, if you'd have told me 30 years ago when we had 19 guys out for track that this was going to happen, I mean, Coach Larson and myself and Coach Lathrop and the guys were there in the beginning, we would probably think you were having some emotional distress if we thought we were going to win like this. But now, you know, with those two guys, and we have Coach Cherry helping out, and Coach Cool and Coach Talbertson Ball, we really have a strong staff, and we have different personalities. We're different types of people, but I think it meshes together for some strange reason, and the kids seem to respond to it, and it's pretty, as you know, you've been around Terry Broadfoot before. You're a good friend of his. He's a good friend of mine, too. It's pretty structured. It's very structured. And we just think there's a right way to do it and the wrong way, and we'll see what happens down the line. But I don't know what's going to happen to me. That will be determined later.
Well, Roger, we really...
I'm going to come down and work with you. How about that? Down, and we'll go out and we'll do crop adjusting.
There you go.
And we'll come down to the radio station. We'll talk about hockey or something.
There you go. Yeah. we'll get a little playoff talk. That'll be no problem. You come in anytime. Yeah. You're welcome anytime.
Well, I just told you how much I know about hockey right there. That was the extent of what I know about it. That was it.
Roger, appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on a job well done, and amazing run once again for the Bearcats. I think going in, you didn't figure on having a state champion, and you found a way to get it done, and really wasn't even close in the end.
Yeah, you know, I want to say two more things if I could. One is that they moved the picnic from the park tonight. We have a picnic every year at the end of the season, and they're going to have it at Northeast School at 5:30 instead of down at the park.
Yep.
And you had said something earlier I wanted to make a comment about, and you just kind of repeat it again about, you know, the expectations. I just find it kind of interesting how when you approach things in a particular way, what happens. And I'll make one reference to it. We had a kid this year that blew out his knee in football, Vinny Molina. You sure know who Vinny Molina is. You know, Vinny got second to state for us in the 100 last year, blew his knee out, got the thing operated on in the dead of winter, and I never thought Vince Molina would ever get back this year. Now, that being said, you know, he long jumped almost 23 feet, didn't place high in the state meet the 100 this year. I'm sure a lot of people wonder why wasn't he as fast. You know, there are things that happen. And I never heard Vince Molina one time this year, not once, say to me, you know, Coach, my knee hurts. You know, I haven't come back from the knee injury. Not one time. And I think most people don't even realize it happened to him. His family, the Molina family, said we keep all kinds of weird stats. And one of them is the most points ever scored by a family. And they're like double the next family in Kearney history. And you would know the Molina family.
Yeah,
I know fairly well. Fantastic athletes. There's a record at Kearney High that will never get broken. And I don't know why I'm babbling on about that necessarily now, but I just think it's a testament to the way kids are. If you have high expectations, doesn't mean you're going to be a state champion. When you have high expectations of people and kids in particular, I think you get more out of them. If you whether it's a classroom or in your own family or in athletics, and I think like the Molina family, they have high expectations. You're expected to do this. You're not expected to be a state champion, but you're expected to perform. You know, you're expected to use your God-given talent. And those expectations, I think, whether they're enunciated, whether they're stated to you, or they're just innate, where you know, you grow up with those kind of expectations. It's really bore us great fruits out here, I think, in western Nebraska. Not everybody in every town is like it is here. It is. It's easy to find excuses. And like you were talking about earlier, guys who are always trying to explain why we win. Well, you know, just go look in the mirror. If you're losing all the time, look in the mirror. Maybe figure out why you're losing. And so for us, it's no excuses. When you win, you win. You lose, you lose. But fortunately, we haven't had to worry about it for 17 years, huh?
Roger Matheson, Cunningham Bearcats. Roger, thanks so much for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You bet.
We'll catch up with you again soon, and hopefully he'll be back with the Bearcats. That was an interesting answer to that question. Right now, it doesn't sound like that's in his plan to be back. We need to take a short break on the Doug and Daddy Show. He about went into that accountability rant I went on one day, I think.
Yeah, he did. He did. So, he was close to it. But he's not. He doesn't get all fiery and all redheaded like you do.
Well, that's true. Hey, we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I can't believe they're still on the air.
Well, it's certainly not the first time we've heard that.
The time is now to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 50 and up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including bowling, golf, basketball, table tennis, and much more. This year's games will be held July 9th through July 12th at various locations in Kearney. The deadline for registration is June 24th, so don't wait to sign up. For more information, contact the Kearney Park and Rec Office. The 2009 Nebraska Senior Games, where the competition never gets old.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam. Because upgrading your central air system to a high efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Oh, sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
Samoa Joe leads the Frontline Revenge Tour as TNA Wrestling invades Kearney live June 14th. Kurt Angle and over 20 TNA superstars will battle it out inside the six-sided ring. TNA is live at the First Tier Event Center Sunday, June 14th. Tickets are on sale now at the Event Center box office or KearneyEvents.com. Log on to TNAWrestling.com for more details. TNA Wrestling. Cross the line.
Hogan's has it. For all you athletes and fans, we have everything you need to get you from the offseason to the preseason to the state championship game. With brands like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Mizuno, and ASICS, our staff can help you maintain that competitive edge. Don't forget, along with a great selection of shoes and apparel, we offer screen printing, embroidery, trophies, and engraving too. Open 7 days a week to serve you better. Hogan Sporting Goods, 2412 Central Avenue, Kearney.
The Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill has been your place in Hastings for over 11 years. And now it's even better because the Bullseye's open early for breakfast. Buttery pancakes, scrumptious sausage, omelets with all the good stuff, big biscuits and gravy, golden hash browns, and much more. All your favorites hot off the griddle. Bullseye's always been the right way to end your day, and now with breakfast, it's a pretty good start to the morning. The Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. Burgers, beer, buddies, and now breakfast. West 2nd Street in Hastings across from the water park.
Before podcasts, if you missed the Doug and Daddy Show, they used to have to come to your house.
Were you expecting a visit from the Tooth Fairy?
And try to repeat everything.
I don't have time today to play What's My Line.
Now when you log on to ESPNSuperstation.com.
Don't touch your computer. Don't ever touch your computer.
You can listen to or download the latest Doug and Daddy Show.
Yes, I pressed that button like 100 times.
Doug and Daddy.
I'm telling you, this thing won't print.
Online. Podcasts. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in Kearney.
We'll stay cloudy across the area as we head through the day today with a chance for more showers and a few thunder showers in spots, with temperatures staying fairly steady in the mid-50s to 60-degree range with north winds around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, there's a chance for showers or thunder showers early with a low at 47. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
Back Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Over the weekend, one of the things kind of flew under the radar. Maybe not much has been made of it since here in Nebraska. Well, the Nebraska baseball team struggled mightily this year, but they have set the bracket for the baseball championship, and the road to Omaha has now begun. The Big 12 getting two national seeds, the number one overall national seed in Texas, and the number seven national seed in Oklahoma. Right now, Mitch Sherman, who follows this baseball closer than anyone, I believe, in the state of Nebraska, joins us once again on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, surprised by the eight Big 12 teams?
Yeah, I am. Just a little bit surprised, or a lot surprised, about Oklahoma State, especially. and Baylor, too. I think I talked to you guys last week and, you know, brought up the possibility that Oklahoma State may want to hang around Stillwater. But I, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen. You looked at things last week, and I understand, or I know why they got put in the field, but I still think there needs to be some criteria that probably rewards some teams over Oklahoma State, which you know, won two Big 12 series this year, the same as Nebraska. They lost the series to Nebraska. It wasn't like they ended the year hot either. They did win at 2 out of 3 at Texas Tech the final weekend, but Texas Tech has a losing overall record, or maybe we'd have seen 9 Big 12 teams in there. Apparently all you have to do now in the Big 12 or the SEC is finish with a winning overall record. Now, I'm not talking about the conference. It used to be there was a real value placed on having a winning conference record. And if you got that winning conference record, you knew you were probably in. And if you didn't have it, you knew you were probably out. The selection committee has really gone away from that the last few years, and it started in the SEC with some teams that had losing conference records. It's become a slippery slope because now you see a team like Oklahoma State get in that was 9-16 in the conference and didn't even make the 18 Big 12 tournament. I mean, there's only 10 teams in the Big 12, and if you don't make that 18 Big 12 tournament, you know, that's the Big 12 saying you don't deserve to play in the postseason. So the NCAA, my opinion probably shouldn't trump that, but, you know, they did, and they have their reasons, and, you know, there's a case to be made on both sides of it.
Mitch, as you look at the national seeds, any surprise at Oklahoma with a 7 seed?
Now, Oklahoma's been solid, been impressive, been consistent throughout the year. And if you're going to give a league 8 teams in the field of 64, you know it's a strong league, and you know that the selection committee values the play in that league. So knowing that, I'm not surprised at all that OU got in that top 8. And I guess I'm not surprised that Texas was the number 1 overall seed. You know, Texas had its problems this year. In the Big 12, they were winless against Kansas and Kansas State in 6 games. But there they are, the best team in the country, according to the selection committee right now. But, of course, the great thing about it is that it doesn't really mean anything. No national seed has won the College World Series since 2003. So you expect the unexpected over these next 3 weeks. And, there really are. I believe Steve Smith, the Baylor coach, when he says that there are more teams than ever right now who have the possibility of not just being in Omaha, but of winning in Omaha. It seems that when you get to Omaha, any of those teams, even the Cinderella, as we've seen the last few years, can win that thing.
Well, especially in Fresno a year ago in Omaha. So, Mitch, I guess if there's one of the top 8 national seeds, which I would like to have saw reversed, was UC Irvine maybe reversing with Cal State Fullerton, and they beat the conference league by, 5 games over Fullerton, and yet they're the 6 and Cal State's a 2?
Yeah, Fullerton's getting hugely rewarded for its out-of-conference schedule, and I think they should be commended for that. Irvine didn't play nearly the out-of-conference schedule that Fullerton did. It wasn't bad, but Fullerton is the more established program, even though Irvine has had 2 consecutive really strong years. Fullerton has the history on its side, scheduling. They're coveted when schools like an Oklahoma State or like a Texas A&M are putting together their schedules, 2 years in advance. Cal State Fullerton is somebody who you just would love to have come out to your stadium and play. And, the Titans went to both of those places this year. Irvine is getting that kind of appeal, but these schedules are made in advance, and, they didn't have those kind of games on their schedule. And that's the reason you see Fullerton sitting in that number 2 spot,
right,
a worse record, a worse conference record than Irvine down in the 6. But really, if you're a national seed, you're hosting in the first round. If you win that, you're hosting in the second round. That's what you want, whether you're the 1 seed or the 8 seed. I don't think it means anything. I don't think there's any difference at all between any of these spots among the national seeds. I mean, when you get to Omaha, if you're the number 1 national seed, you're playing the number 8 national seed in that first weekend game at Rosenblatt Stadium.
It's a damn good baseball team.
It doesn't matter. There's not a favorite in that game. The way the College World Series is now, the 1 seed versus the 8 seed, it's a 50-50 proposition.
Well, Mitch, you made an interesting point before the show in talking to you. Whether you're the 2 or 3 seed in your mind really doesn't matter to you because you're on the road, you're playing the other opponent, you just got to win that game in advance.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Arkansas in particular, and those two and those three seed positions, those are where you get most of these at large, you know, the on the bubble teams or the teams that may have struggled down the end and presented a difficult decision for the committee. And in the case of Arkansas, you can say, hey, how, you know, losing eight straight SEC games in the regular season, then go 1-2 at the SEC tournament. How do they get a two seed? You know, that puts them in the 17-32 range among the, you know, the way that the committee slotted them. And my point on that is, it doesn't really matter if you're a two or a three, because you, like you said, if you're a two, you're playing the three in that first round. So settle it on the field. Maybe Arkansas should have been a three. They're going to play Washington State, I believe. Yeah, they're going to play Washington State in the first round, who is the three. So if you think you deserve the two and you're Washington State, then go out and beat Arkansas, and you're in the same spot you'd be anyway if you would have got that seat.
Okay, Mitch, if you following these Big 12 teams, anybody you like the draw they got, a couple teams that maybe you think have a chance to advance on to the next weekend?
Texas has an easy draw.
Right.
You play Army in the first round, and you know, those teams in the bottom part of their bracket, Boston College and Texas State, aren't pushovers, and Texas State is going to be familiar and close to home, familiar with Austin. But, you know, Texas, with the pitching staff it has, I don't really see a whole lot of trouble getting out of that regional. You know, what you don't want is to have, you know, somebody like in the past, a UC Irvine, who came in there right. 2 years ago into Austin. You don't want to see that, or maybe a sleeping superpower. Somebody they've had Stanford come into their regional before when it was something of a down year for Stanford, and they woke up and won that regional. So you don't have any of those traps for Texas. So I definitely like the Longhorns to get out of the first weekend, and I think I don't really see a lot of trouble for Texas in that second weekend either. You know, TCU is hosting, and they're a one seed for the first time, and yeah, they're a good program out of the Mountain West. But you know, unless A&M wins that regional, or Oregon State would be dangerous if they win that regional and play Texas in the Super. You know, I think Texas is going to be back in Omaha for the first time since 2005. As far as good draws, you know, the one that might surprise you, I kind of like the draw that Kansas State has down in Houston against Rice in that regional. And Kansas State, the problem for them is this is going to be a first-time experience for everyone on that roster. Mm-hmm. They've never been in a regional before, so that's a fear. But if Kansas State, you know, I'll be really interested to hear what they decide to do with their pitching because they're playing Xavier in the first round. And if they can hold A.J. Morris, their you know, superstar who's 13-1 this year, burst onto the scene, really has kind of carried Kansas State on his back, setting the tone every weekend with that Friday night start in the Big 12. If they can somehow save him for Rice and throw him in the second round against Rice, you know, it's really a decision of whether you want to play to win the first game or you want to play to win the entire regional. And if you're playing to win the entire regional, then you have to consider throwing that ace in the second game against a team like Rice at home, because I don't think Kansas State has any chance to beat Rice in the second round if it throws Morris in the first game against Xavier. So say you win that game against Xavier, then you've got Morris right there ready to go against Rice, and I actually think that their chances would be okay to win. And if they beat Rice in the second round, then they may escape that thing and actually get to a super regional, and that would be you know, a pretty amazing feat for Kansas State. Those are the two that stand out to me. You know, Oklahoma is probably the favorite to win their regional, but I don't like Oklahoma State to get out. I don't like Baylor to get out. I really don't think I like A&M to get out. Kansas ended up with a tough, tough, tough place to play. North Carolina with Coastal Carolina in the first round. So, yeah, it's going to be a long weekend for a lot of Big 12 teams.
Mitch, I think the one big surprise number two seed I see out there is Elon. Who the hell's Elon?
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty good program. I've heard they're, you know, you don't hear about them in basketball, or I don't know if they play football, but this is one of those programs that's, you know, in a warm weather environment. I think they're in South Carolina, North Carolina. They're in North Carolina. Yeah, and look at baseball in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, UNC, Coastal Carolina is in South Carolina, but that part of the country just produces players. And if you're getting the leftovers from Clemson and North Carolina and South Carolina and Coastal Carolina, which is how I think Elon builds its program, then there's still guys to go around. They've got 40 wins this year, and you know, I don't think that they're going to get to Omaha or anything like that. But pretty good situation to get a two seed, as your Elon.
Fair enough. Mitch, you're the best as always. Thanks so much for the time today.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Hey, we're going to get out of here, come back with more after this break. We're going to do Tuesday Troutman's Trivia right now. We're doing it right now, Derek says.
We'll do it going into the break here, and then call us up during the break, and we'll find a winner and let you know who it was coming back.
1-888-455-3776. I'm going to slow it down for you. 888-455-3776.
That's 888-455-ESPN for those of you who have the letters on your phone, which is everyone.
If you got a BlackBerry like I... you have no idea what the letters are, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. BlackBerry users don't. See, I'm not privileged like you are. That's...
Privileged, is that what I am?
Well, you're something.
We're going to take a short break. Here's a question. The last top eight national seed to win the College World Series was who?
Eight national seed to win the College World Series.
Was who?
Was which college?
Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, it may pain a little in the beginning, but after a while you won't feel a thing.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
Craftsman takes you inside the NASCAR garage.
Here's what needs to get done. So, roll that Craftsman toolbox over, boys. We've got an engine to install. Need to connect starter wires, attach clutch line, put in drive shaft, check oil and water temp, install exhaust, and put on shocks.
Check. What else you got?
For every item on a NASCAR mechanics checklist, there's a Craftsman tool to get the job done right. Maybe that's why the tools America trusts most are also the tools NASCAR trusts most. Behind every champion, there's a Craftsman, the official tools of NASCAR.
If you missed Friday's Doug and Daddy Show, you missed our chat with former UNK All-American and national champion Travell Nalognev. He's getting ready for the World Team Trials in Council Bluffs, Iowa. We also went to Las Vegas to catch up with Mike Perenio, the manager of the sportsbook at Mandalay Bay. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Tuesday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The Doug and Daddy Show, weekdays at 11 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Our listeners will enjoy hearing us.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the Right Health Plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. 22. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll stay cloudy across the area as we head through the day today with a chance for more showers and a few thunder showers in spots, with temperatures staying fairly steady in the mid-50s to 60 degree range with north winds around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, there's a chance for showers or thunder showers early with a low at 47. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
All right, we're back. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Got a winner on Tuesday Troutman's Trivia. Luke knew.
Yeah, Luke knew it was Rice. Rice, actually.
2003.
We had good guesses. Miami, LSU, Wichita State were all guesses, but Rice is a... the correct answer. Hey, how much rain did we get last night? Do you know?
It's had to be.
It was a lot.
I would say full 4.5 inches.
Yeah, it was pouring. It about washed our yard out over by where I live. It was not a good thing at all.
Hard.
Speaking of washed out, what about the Lakers?
Oh.
What's wrong with them?
You know, that series seems to be whoever Well, the free throw deal, say what you want about it.
Yeah, they had, what, 80? I think 84 free throws was the number from last night's game. And it's the playoffs. It's going to get physical, and it boils down to how the officials are going to call the game. You, as an official, you cannot let it get out of control to where you have guys committing flagrant fouls on one another and pushing and shoving and jawing back and forth. You have to keep those things under wraps as an official, which sometimes means you have to call the game tighter. You have to call some of those touch fouls at times. And Phil, obviously not happy. You may have heard his comments in the post-game interview saying, well, the aggressor in basketball should be the team that has the advantage. Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, but Denver is I'd go out on a board and say, hey, Denver's been more aggressive. They out-rebounded the Lakers yesterday by
Martin.
18, I believe. 18 rebound differential.
Birdman.
Yeah, it's...
You know what's great is you look into the crowd and you see these little kids with their hair like Birdman.
Yeah, and you know, actually, a funny story I'll tell you right quick. I had a couple of friends who went up to Game 3, actually, watched Denver lose, but had a great time up there, and they said there was a kid, some kid maybe 9, 10 years old, sitting courtside that had the sleeve, you know, the tattoo sleeves painted up like Birdman, had his hair all mohawked and everything like that, and of course... Anderson threw him a towel, and I think even signed him a jersey after the game and whatnot, too. So, sound like good guys. And I tell you what, Denver, no one saw this coming at the beginning of the playoffs. No one gave Denver credit to get out of the first round, and not that they should have, because they haven't gotten out of the first round over the last several years. But a 2 seed, and everyone picked everyone picked the Hornets to beat them. And they didn't. And then no one gave them credit, really, in the second. It's a couple people picked Dallas to beat them, even in the second series.
That was a beatdown.
But now it's, Denver's the glamour pick now. But you know what? I saw it at the beginning of the playoffs. They have good big men. And the Lakers, everyone wants the Lakers and LeBron. Everyone wants Kobe, LeBron. And I think that's lighting a fire under Denver and Orlando.
Well, down the stretch, the announcers kept talking about they've got to get a stop. The Lakers got to get a stop. Every time down, Jarrett Smith. 3-ball, splash. I mean, it was just 3-ball, boom, it's over.
Denver outscored L.A. every single quarter last night. 22-19 in the first, 30-26 in the second, 25-21 in the third, and because of the plethora of free throws there, 43-35 in the fourth quarter. But Chauncey Billups, J.R. Smith with 24 apiece leading the way there. And Carmelo had a terrible night, and they still smoked him.
Well, he's sick. I mean, that's one thing to have a terrible night and, you know, just fail to show up.
Stomach flu, something along those lines.
So hopefully get him back and get him going. And he was trying to do, they thought, and breaking it down a little bit too much from the outside. Obviously over the weekend, LeBron's shot was something. I got to Cunningham's downtown, and it was 13.6 seconds. The Magic have it. Turkoglu goes down, hits the shot, 1 second left. I walked out back, it was Bam playing, having a nice time out with the wife, whatever. All of a sudden... Here comes Buddy Kroll out and says, LeBron just hit it to win it. And you're like, no way, there's 1 second left. How does this... It's amazing how he got it off, even.
Yeah, I pose this question to you. That the Magic lead that series 2-1.
It's over.
Is it? It's over.
It's over.
It should be 3-0. If LeBron doesn't hit that shot, it's 3-0, and they're facing elimination tonight. And of all the teams, Daddy, this season that gave Cleveland problems, Orlando is one of them.
Orlando and Denver. Is that going to kill the NBA rating?
Absolutely not. You got two legitimate superstars there with Carmelo and Dwight. You have Howard and Anthony. That to me, being an NBA fan that I am, it's probably a little different for me, but that is just as compelling as Kobe and LeBron.
We've got to take another break here. And I want to know, is Orlando still playing TD Waterhouse? Because I actually went to a game against the Mavericks in TD Waterhouse Arena in Orlando.
I'll have to look that up.
Look that up, because that place is a glorified Pershing auditorium, otherwise known as a dump.
We'll check that here in the break. We'll be right back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
An outstanding presentation. Outstanding.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You have to meet with clients and colleagues, but business travel is a profitability killer. Airline ticket, cab, hotel, tips, meals, ticket alone, $300. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com, $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. You can host 5 meetings or 5,000 for $49 a month. It's the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, product demonstrations, or collaborative sessions from your desk. No more flying, no more leaving town. The tips alone on a travel trip cost you more than GoToMeeting.com. My listeners in the herd get it free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. How? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Colin.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Tri-City Storm.
Hi, my name's Eric. I've been a Storm fan since day one. Being a season ticket holder is a good experience. I've been to enough games that I finally decided, you know what, I just need to buy season tickets. And that way I always had a seat, plus there's always some great benefits that come with being a season ticket holder. Living here in Nebraska, you know, you got to be a big Husker fan, but, you know, there's something to be said about being a big hockey fan.
Season tickets as low as $10 per game. Order by June 15th. Visit StormHockey.com. Presented by Viero.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Oh, sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll stay cloudy across the area as we head through the day today with a chance for more showers and a few thunder showers in spots, with temperatures staying fairly steady in the mid-50s to 60-degree range, with north winds around 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, there's a chance for showers or thunder showers early with a low at 47. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
We're back. Doug and Daddy Show. Center of Rescue's ESPN Radio Superstation. Wrapping up, taking you up to the lunch hour here. Hope you enjoyed our program today. Hope you enjoyed Roger Matheson, Kearney High track coach.
Champions once again.
Champions. 13 out of the last 16 years. Congratulations.
Winners, Daddy.
Everybody.
Winners.
Well, they're accountable. Well, we've been on that before.
Yes, we certainly have.
We got to get out of here already. We want to thank Roger Matheson for joining us. Also want to thank Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald breaking down this baseball championship talk. Should be interesting as the week progresses and more storylines develop out of that. Interestingly enough, Cal State Irvine, they get the defending champion, Fresno State. They get San Diego State as a 3 seed. Of course, Mr. Strasburg expected to be the number one overall pitcher. And then Virginia, who I believe is the ACC champion, won that in 4 games with a 43-12 overall record. So that's an interesting bracket to keep an eye out on. Strasburg probably goes in game one, or do they save him against Irvine? We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Todd Gatula from the Kearney Hub expecting to join us then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.